Welcome to For the Health of It, an intimate look at public health in Cowley County, Kansas. Join us as we discuss topics that are impacting public health in our community and learn about what we do at your local health department. Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another edition of For the Health of It, Cowley County. I'm Tom Langer, the Cowley County Health Department Administrator and Public Health Officer, and with me today, as always, is my co-host, my epidemiologist, and my right hand here at the Health Department. Allie, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Hey, we've got a pretty good episode today, don't we?
I think so.
Yeah, today it's called Care About Child Care.
Yes.
Right? And we have a special guest, very special guest with us today, who is Patty Wimmer. And Patty has been with the Health Department for, Patty, how many years now?
Nine.
Yikes. Yeah. Yikes. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself, Patty, and then we'll dive into what you do as far as the role you play here at the Health Department.
I was born in Winfield, Kansas.
Yay.
And I grew up here. Moved away for 20, 25 years, and now I've been back for 20 years. So started working for the Health Department, and I'm now doing child care licensing. It is challenging, and it is also very rewarding. I enjoy going into homes and into the centers and watching how different providers care for the kids and communicate with the kids. I really enjoy what I do.
Good. We're glad that you're on board, and we're glad to have you on our podcast today. So we're going to go ahead and just kind of start a little bit deeper dive and ask you a bunch of questions.
Okay.
Okay. Allie, do you have anything you want to ask Patty right out of the gate?
No, not immediately.
Not immediately. Okay. Well, don't be shy. If there is something, let's do that. So let's talk a little bit about why the role of child care licensing is important, not just in our county, but in the state of Kansas, because we don't do this because it's our idea, do we?
No,
this is done.
This is the state.
This is the state. So the state laws require that the child care providers in the state be licensed appropriately, and then they also have some monitoring. And that's where we come in. We don't license them. The state does, right?
KDHE, yes.
Right, health department at the state level. But you are kind of their extension here. I mean, you take the role of what they would do if they were to have to send somebody down out of Topeka or Wichita. But instead of that, we believe in our county, it's best to have somebody that's local deal with folks that are local.
Correct.
Right?
So, yes.
So that kind of defines that role a little bit. But let's talk a little bit about, you know, again, what it is all about. Tell me a little bit in your own words. Why do these regulations and such exist, and how does that drive what you do for us?
I think all of these regulations and everything, basically, it protects our kids. That way, there are certain criteria that the providers have to have or have to do. And that way, also, the kids, we don't have to worry as much about them being in a facility. A parent can feel comfortable dropping off their kids at a home or at a center and know that the people that are there are qualified and will take good care of their kids.
You mentioned a couple of things in that statement, homes and centers. Evidently, there are different types of classifications then, right?
Yes.
Talk about that a little bit, Patty.
There are centers, and in Cowley County, we have four, two in Ark City and two in Winfield. Preschool is also one of the categories, but Winfield does not have, or Cowley County does not have any preschools. There are two different types, or actually three different types of home daycares. One is a home daycare, which is one provider, and then they can have, depending on the ages of the kids, they can have up to 10 kids in their care. Then there is a group daycare, and that is someone who has the ability to have a second provider, and that also gives that daycare the option of having two additional kids, depending on the ages. Everything starts and ends with infants. Depending on how many infants are in care, makes a difference as to how many other ages that they can have. There are also daycares in a commercial building, group in a commercial building. And we have some of those in our school districts, two in Winfield, one in Burden, and Udall has one as well. So those are run just like a home, except for they're in a setting that is not an individual's home. They're in,
are they like at the schools themselves? Or?
Yes, they're one of the classrooms in the schools.
Oh, okay, cool. Let's talk a little bit about the need for childcare. We hear so much about that.
There is a lot of need for daycare, and I think some of that, we have a lot of providers who have 4, 5, 6, maybe 7 kids, and they're happy with that. They don't want to be at full capacity. I've had several say to me, I don't feel like I can take good care of 10 kids, and I would rather have 6 and be able to give them the attention that they deserve.
You know the numbers and the statistics about how many kids we have and the total number of care providers in the county. Why don't you share with us just roughly what those numbers are?
We have approximately 58 daycares. That includes the 4 centers. Once the government came in and gave some of these bonuses or options for help with their licensing, we were able to get more providers. That seems to be a big concern, is just the money that evolves around daycare and where does it go, where does it come from, and how do people get what they deserve to get. So that's part of that.
I know we think a lot about, you know, the cost of childcare, and you know, when I talk to parents, especially young parents, they talk about how expensive it can be, but I hear kind of contrasting opinions based upon those that are providers as opposed to those that are parents that have to pay for the care. There seems to be a lot of concern about the cost and the affordability of childcare. Is that true in Cowley County as well?
I think it is. I know that I've had several providers share with me that they don't feel like they have enough money coming in order to do maybe some of the activities with the kids or provide certain materials for the kids. And then basically just keeping up with all of the requirements that they have as far as nap time. They have to have specific items for nap time. Kids can't share bedding, so there has to be bedding for each individual child. There's a lot of little things that go into daycare that people in general just don't think about. But when you're in one of these daycare homes and you look at the lists of things that they need and things that they want, all of that stuff adds up. It adds up pretty quickly.
Yeah, so would you say that the cost of entering daycare is something right now that's a barrier to folks and a reason why we don't see more daycare providers?
I think it can be for some. I know the grants that came about, and I think a lot of that came about with COVID. Everything was brought to our attention. So I think with that, I know providers said, I wouldn't have been able to do this if I didn't have the money from the grants. So that has been very helpful. I do not know, as time goes on and that money disappears, how some of the providers are going to be able to maintain what they currently have versus the parents. A lot of times if they have multiple kids in a daycare, the provider might give them a little bit of a discount. But we have right now preschool, and that is ages 4 and 5. So most of our daycares now are infant through 3 years old.
Sure. We can, I'm not going to call out any providers by name because that's not something that we do, but I do know that we've got some interesting daycare providers in the county. Going through my mind, some of the ones that we know, but let's talk about the larger ones, the ones that are kind of unique. We've got one that's connected with the Winfield School District.
We have 2 in Winfield, mm-hmm. and 1 in Burden, and 1 in Udall.
Yeah, are the 2 in Winfield, they're the ones at Welk? Or is that something different?
That's different.
Okay.
The daycares that we have in the schools are out at Country View, and
one
is at Irving.
Okay.
And they're designed to help with the staff, but I think as the staff, if they don't if they aren't full capacity, they will take kids from just okay. the general public.
Gotcha. So those were set up specifically for the teachers so that they could access childcare because it's difficult, again, to find right. good teachers. And
right.
Have you?
Okay. One of the Country View teachers had shared with me that they had lost some teachers to Burden because Burden had the daycare in their school and Got Winfield it. Did not. So that was kind of
that
the
was
part where
benefit.
It initiated the... Yeah, the daycare in the schools.
That's interesting. But what about the program that they had that was connected to one of the retirement homes?
That was not. That was through the school district.
That was through the district.
Yeah.
So that was not something that we were involved with or that we monitored. Okay. So let's talk about the reasons why we do this monitoring. Okay.
Okay.
I'm gonna play the state guy now because I understand that portion of it. I know that from time to time things happen in the world. I can recall, you know, children that were placed in daycare that were neglected or abused, and sadly some of those resulted in horrendous injuries or even death. And when those things happen, the outcry comes from the population, for parents, we've got to do more. We've got to protect our kids, right?
Correct.
And so people go to Topeka, and, you know, it's an easy thing under that dome. I used to call it the Green Dome, but it's not anymore. It's brown now. You go under the dome, and you say, well, we're going to fix this. And so they pass laws, and then from those laws come all of the regulations. Those regulations are designed to specifically protect the children.
Correct.
Right. And yet with that comes additional bureaucracy and additional requirements and restrictions, and it makes it a little bit more difficult. When we function the way we're supposed to, your role is what? Is it mainly supervisory? I mean, How would you define or would you explain your relationship with the daycare providers in our county?
I go in on an annual basis, and I go into each facility. Depending on what I find there, that may be the only visit I make in a year. If there are regulations that need to be corrected, or violations that need to be corrected, then I go out a second time. If I go out unannounced in the middle of the, you know, year, typically that is a complaint from someone. So I don't spend a lot of time with the providers. I don't believe my role is to be their friend, but I do believe that I can do my job in a friendly way. So that way I believe I have better communication with the providers. If they feel like they can share something with me, I feel like that is a good relationship. So I do have providers call and ask for clarifications about different regulations, or sometimes capacity becomes an issue in some of the daycares. What can I do to get an extra child, or, you know, that type of thing. So I feel like I have a pretty good relationship with the providers that we currently have. And if I have a concern, I do contact them as well.
Okay. But all of this really still revolves around the point that what we do and why we engage in this on behalf of the state is because, yeah, like you say, we know them. We're also part of the community, and we want them to have a local source or a point of contact that's a little bit easier to get a hold of them, just calling someone in Topeka, right?
Right.
Yeah. And ultimately the goal is to prevent unnecessary injuries, to make sure our kids are healthy and safe, and that they develop properly. So let's move on a little bit. You talk about some of the things that you need to do that you're required, and that term surveys comes up. And explain what that is just briefly, what a survey is.
A survey is when I go into the facility and I do a walkabout, so to speak. I check out the whole facility. I go through, if it's a home, I go through the whole house. And I only really pay close attention to those areas where the kids are actually going to be present. You know, if it's an upstairs bedroom, I might look and make sure they don't have kids hiding in there. But other than that, I don't investigate or I don't look at that quite as closely as I do the areas where the kids are. With surveys, we want to make sure that the regulations are being met. Sometimes, you know, one of the things is they have to have the plugs, the socket plugs, plugged up. So that the kids can't stick their fingers or their knives or a fork in there. And sometimes they will take those out so that they can vacuum and forget to put them back in, you know, something very simple like that. And then sometimes there are some dangerous things on the kitchen counter that are within reach of a child that need to be clearly put away out of reach of the kids.
You know, this reminds me a lot of like what the state also does when it inspects restaurants and food service facilities. So the list of requirements are that, I don't want to call it a checklist, but that's probably a no better way of framing it. Are those the minimum standards that the state requires?
Yes.
Okay.
They are minimum standards. We have a good amount of providers that go above and beyond that.
Cool.
But the regulation book is designed for the minimal requirements, and if they do those, the kids should be safe. But we kind of like for the kids to not just be present in the home. We want the kids to be interacting with one another. We want them to be doing some art projects or doing some reading. We do not want the kids sitting in front of the TV all day. Even though they have educational TV shows, that's not what we want for them.
So the bottom line then is that you go in and try to make sure that the minimum standards are being met.
Correct.
And now I know this is something that we've had happen in the past where we will receive phone calls here from parents, or maybe it's a first time set of parents and they're looking and they're confused because they're going to have to place a child into daycare and it's daunting and they can't find it. And who is it or who's out there? Can you give us the list and can you give us recommendations? Explain that process and why we can or cannot do those things.
I am not allowed by KDHE. They do not want me to recommend providers, and I completely understand that. They don't want me to isolate, or they don't want me to favor different providers, and I agree with that. So we have, I have a phone number, and the ladies up front all have a number for childcare where, mm-hmm. and they can actually help them find someone that would be compatible with their family. Parents can call there, and they can ask, give them, these are the hours that I need. This
right.
is the type of environment I want, and et cetera, et cetera. And they can match the parents with a local provider. As far as the parents and myself, I don't get involved with that.
Yeah, you're not, and that's not your role.
Yeah, it's not my role. It's not my place. And I don't want to pick one provider over another provider. And I think that's what KDHE is concerned that could happen. We just refer them on to Child Care Aware, and there's a toll-free number that you can call. I actually called them once just to kind of go through the process of what parents are going to hear at the other end. And the lady was very helpful, and she was giving me all these circumstances as to, you know, if they need this, we're going to refer them to this provider. And they're very thorough, and they indicated to me that they will call back on a regular basis and update the information for the providers in case things have changed.
If you were to have a message to somebody that's out here in the listening audience that's maybe thinking about becoming a provider, what would you tell them? What should they expect if they try to get into the child care business?
I think that it can be very rewarding working with young kids and seeing them grow and seeing them discover things for the first time. For me, I love that look on their face. I think that providers, I will say, they have long days. A lot of them work 10 to 12 hour days. There is, you know, don't want to, you know, put any money information, but if you're going out there to work with kids, you need to do it because you love to work with kids. You're not going to get rich. But on the other side of the money issue, it's very rewarding. And I can tell when I go into a home, I can tell those providers that really love what they do. There's just kind of like a little sparkle or something in their eyes, and they really enjoy watching those kids grow. And I think for many providers, in a way, they are raising other people's kids because they are with them more hours in a day than what the parents are, as far as the kids are awake for 12 hours and the parents may have them for 3 or 4 hours before they, you know, go to bed or wake up. So I think it's important for parents to find someone that they approve of, that they're compatible with. But I also think for the providers, I do believe that they have to have a love for kids if they want to do this. I think that's the biggest, that's the number one thing.
It's different today than it was. Allie, think back as far as you can.
Okay.
Did you go to daycare?
I sure did.
What was that like?
It was awesome. I had a great childcare provider. We had, you know, we did the snacks. We went and played outside. We had crafts, nap time, of course. But overall, it was a pretty good experience.
I mean, my childcare provider was my mom.
Yeah.
Times have changed dramatically. From my earliest memories, it was always mom at home until I went to school.
Yeah.
I started in kindergarten and all that. And then once we went to school, then it was, life began to change. And it seems like that was different. You know, and of course, now I'm really dating myself because, you know, that's back when the dinosaurs walked the earth. But it was mom stayed home and took care of the kids a lot of times. And so it has been an evolution. When we had to take care of those in our family, because our family was pretty good size, man, it was like we'd go to an aunt for a day or something if mom had something to do. Or as we got older, even in our own families, siblings took care of each other.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know that was always the smartest thing, because I think about some of the shenanigans we were involved in, but it was how things, you know, changed and evolved. And I've often said, I don't know if I could afford to have 5 kids today if I had to do it all over again, you know, because
it would be difficult.
It'd be tough. It'd be very tough. So I would hope that folks do think about that, though, because there is a need. And I don't, like you say, it's not a profession where you're going to, you know, get rich, right?
Right.
I mean, the financial riches are not there, but you do hopefully make enough that you can do that and pay your own bills and maintain things. So it's not like, you know, the old adage about farming. If you, you know, want to have a small fortune in farming, you have to start with a large one and then work until you only have a small one left. But I just want to make sure people understand that this is a need that society has. And, you know, if you are of that makeup where you love children and you want to take care of them, that they should reach out. And they can do that by contacting you here at the health department, even if they want to find out more,
right? Correct.
About what would be required and how to go about doing that.
Well, I think a lot of providers start initially because they want to stay home with their kids.
With their own children?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so then they, you know, they start their daycare and they have several kids. Some of them will continue doing that for the next 20, 30, 40 years because they love it so much. And others, when their kids are in school and their schedules change, they opt to close their daycare. One of the biggest needs right now is daycare for infants. There's a lot of providers who don't want to care for infants. They take more time. Depending on the number of infants you have makes a difference on the ages of the other kids that you can have. A lot of providers, I think the majority of them will have one, maybe two. A single provider is allowed 3 infants. And in daycare, in the homes, an infant is considered 2 weeks to 18 months. In a center, an infant is 2 weeks to 12 months. So there's a difference of six months there. And that's something that the state is working on or thinking about trying to make those the same, which would be the 2 years to 12 months. There's a big difference between 12 months and 15 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So help me clear that up a little bit, because I'm kind of confused on that. So in the centers, an infant is considered
two weeks to 12 months.
Mm-hmm. But in a home environment, it's 2 weeks through
18 months.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So there's six extra months there.
Right. That's, yeah.
Yeah. So in other words, if you as a provider are caring for a 15-month-old child, that is considered an infant, even though they're already toddling around, right?
Correct.
Okay. And the concept behind that is if they shorten them both to 12 months, that kind of frees up space for extra kids?
I think so. It helps the kids age out of the infant stage. Mm-hmm. So then that way they can have additional kids versus having them for another 6 months that they are considered infants.
Which is that one of the reasons why people say they don't want many infants, is because they can't care for as many older children?
That's part of it. That's part of it. But I think too, it's the time and the energy that you have to have with the infants.
I think making those two ages the same would also help families too, because you're paying infant prices for 18 months if you're taking them to a home.
Exactly.
Versus yeah. for just yeah. 12 months if you're taking them to a center. Yeah. That's a long time yeah. to be paying infant prices
right.
in daycare yeah. and childcare that's already expensive.
Expensive, yeah. So let's talk about what's going on in our county currently. There's some talk, and it's been in the newspapers and such, about a larger facility that's opening up.
Aha.
Aha. You know, and I know that we've, you know, been involved in parts of that. Yeah. And I know that a lot of it still is probably kind of, I don't want to say secret is not the right word, but there's not been a whole lot of public announcements yet. But how is the Creekstone facility progressing?
It is progressing quite well. I think more than likely they will be open by the end of October. I'm really excited to see it because it is, you know, they're starting from scratch for the most part, and just to see it evolve. It is going to be for staff, so it's not going to be open to the general public. I have heard that they will reconsider that down the road if they have spaces open, but initially it's going to be for staff. It's a center, so they have the ability to have three rooms for infants, and the ratio for a provider and an infant is 3-1. So one provider can take care of three infants. So the maximum for infants in a center is 9 in one room. So then they have to have the multiple rooms. But they're going to have, the way their license is going to be set up, they're going to have options as to the ages in the different rooms. And that's the way most centers open up. That way they have, every year is going to be different. They're going to have different numbers of infants, different numbers of one-year-olds and two-year-olds. So that way, as the ages of the kids change, they'll be able to change with it.
Mm-hmm. It would be nice, maybe when it does open and they get things going, maybe we can have their director join us sometime and tell us about what they're what
oh, I
they're
bet
seeing.
She'd love to. And, Laura and, Walton, I yeah, think they yeah. picked a great great person. I think she's going to be very successful.
I'm hopeful for the community in general. And I'm also hoping that the results that we see are, you know, more available spots then for, you know, with other providers, because you might see a shift from currently licensed providers to this new facility. Although I think a lot of that's still kind of yet to be determined, isn't it?
Correct. Yes. Yeah.
So there are two different types of providers, right, that I throw out. There's those that are licensed and those that are not licensed. What are some of the non-licensed providers that we see?
Sometimes it's a family member. You can care for kids if they are like your nieces or nephews or your grandkids, and that is not considered illegal. If you are watching more than two kids, 20 hours a week, that would be considered illegal care. And the problems with illegal care is they can do what they want. They have no oversight. So parents really have to be very comfortable with that, I would think. But they don't have the recourse that the parents do if their children are in licensed daycare, because they can call and find out, you know, what's going on. And if they want, they can file a complaint.
Sure.
With illegal care, the only complaint that can be filed really is it's illegal care.
But you would think that, you know, in that realm, like you say, it's family. There has to be a familial bond, if I remember correctly.
Right.
And so, and I remember that. I mean, we used mom, you know, I used my mother to watch my little ones, you know, when they were young. So I don't know that there was anybody I probably trusted more.
Correct.
And anyway, I do want to make that distinction, because I do know there is a lot of child care that goes on in that setting still that I think is probably very good, but folks should understand the differences as to, to what they see. So if you see a group of kids playing in the back of somebody's, you know, after school in their backyard, a lot of times it's grandma and grandpa, and the kids go there after school until mom and dad pick them up.
Right. Yeah. Correct.
So. Mm-hmm. Anything that I've missed or anything I didn't talk about? Allie, can you think of anything?
Yeah, well, we talked about how childcare is an issue, and we talked about it being a societal issue, but I wanted to kind of talk a little bit about what that means locally, about our previous health assessments that have been done and the data walk. The last community needs health assessment that was done in, oh, what year was that, Tom? 2021?
No, I was midst of the... What is it now? 21. It was during what pandemic was going on. I said, like, get out of here. I don't have time for that. Right.
Yeah. So when that happens, the first part of that is collecting survey data from the community on a variety of health inducing topics. But one of the issues that was brought to the forefront was the need for childcare facilities that are of quality, also more of them.
Affordability.
Affordability, all kinds of different things in that realm. So that has been a need that's been identified locally. And there have been some other projects too that have gone on here in Cali County, the data walk. Many folks were a part of that or have been to that. That was done by the Legacy Foundation. And who else worked with that? All kinds of folks.
Oh gosh, they had all kinds of partners, but Legacy was the big one. And the group that Lindsay was with,
the early literacy
mm-hmm. group.
Yes. Mm-hmm. USD 470 early literacy initiative.
Right.
And so they collected all kinds of different data, that was publicly available through secondary sources and compiled it all in one place. They had it vetted so that when it was displayed to the community, it was confirmed to be factual, real data. So it wasn't that any of those organizations that worked on that project were just pulling things out of nowhere and putting them on poster boards. But the data is real, and the data showed the need again for childcare facilities locally here in Cali County. So it's an issue here too.
Yeah, I think it's an issue everywhere, but it's nice that we have focus on it, in our communities, I think. And I'm really pleased to see that, you know, things are happening in those areas. The other thing is, you know, when we take a look at the big employer Creekstone, and we talk a lot about other employers, there is talk more and more that you hear now about the need for employers to step in and assist in that area, because in order to retain valuable employees, which you want to do in order for our organizations to remain vibrant and productive, that we have to have good facilities for them to raise families and to have that, which is why we see it with the teachers in the schools. And I know that even places like the health department, where we have policies that allow infinite work for a certain amount of time period. And, you know, when they're early on, basically before they can go to daycare, so that moms can come back and function, or dads can function, and that you can also bond with your children and rear them accordingly. And it is a balancing act in today's society and world. And I hope that it's something that we continue to focus on as a county, as a society, as a state, to make it easier for people to live and raise their families in places like Cali County. So
I mean, we have clients that are recipients of some of our programs, and they were working while they were pregnant, and planned to go back, and even some did go back for a while. And at the end of the day, what they were bringing home versus what they were having to pay for childcare, it didn't make sense. So, I mean, why not stay home and take care of your children yourself if you can make that work?
Yeah, make those ends meet. Or, you know, it also, I think, you know, we talk about the pandemic a lot still. Mm-hmm. One of the interesting things that the pandemic brought about was the capacity for people to work in non-traditional places. You know, being able to work from home and still be able to contribute to your employer. So I think employers look at that. I think they learned a lot. I think these are lessons that we'll all carry forward. And it'll be interesting to see over the next 10, 20 years how that continues to evolve and the impacts that it will have on families in general. Patty, is there anything else you would like to tell the folks out there, or anything that you maybe had in your notes that you wanted to talk about that we haven't discussed?
There are requirements that the providers are going to have to follow. Those are, for the most part, they're pretty simple, pretty basic. CPR, first aid, the provider has to be current. And there are some things that the family will have to do, a TB test. There is fingerprinting. That was something Kansas started right before COVID hit and everything closed down. But we went through a year of all of our providers getting fingerprinted. Anyone 18 and older that lives in the home needs to be fingerprinted. And when you're fingerprinted, that is good for 5 years. And currently the state is waiving the fingerprinting processing fee, and they're also waiving application fees for new providers. So if anybody wants to be a provider, if they think they might want to be, give me a call and we can talk about some of the specifics and get you set up with an orientation.
Yeah, we didn't get into that part of it, about the fingerprinting, because again, we talk about the protection of the kids. Mm-hmm. So Patty, tell me, do you know, is it true that when they do that it's run to make sure that we don't have any like predators trying to enter that field?
Yes. Okay. And there have been a few providers who have a spouse or maybe themselves that something that they did when they were 16 or 17, and it's 20 years later down the path, and they've had to have something expunged from their record, and then they qualify. So I don't know what those specific things are. I'm not told, but if, you know, a lot of these people have said, I even forgot completely about that because it was so long ago. So it's I don't know exactly what the criteria is for daycare. I know all of these facilities, whether you're in law, whether you're with the school districts, they all have different criteria for which you would pass for fingerprinting.
And those are set by the state.
We don't have anything to do with them.
We just have to make sure we get the folks in and follow the process. Okay. Well, good. I mean, because I know that's, you sit there and say, oh my God, there's so many things that you have to do to it. But in reality, if anybody's ever gotten into any kind of a business, let me tell you, there's a whole lot of hoops you jump through in order to make those things go. So, okie doke. Well, it's been an interesting conversation. One of the things, as the health department administrator, I am truly glad that we have this service connected to what we do. Because I believe, again, very firmly that being able to deal with somebody locally is a lot easier than trying to pick up the phone and call Topeka or whatever. And that comes from a person who used to work there. So I get it. And I wanted to thank you one more time and make sure that, you know, if you ever have any other things that you want to share with us, you just let us know and we'll make sure to get you back on again in future episodes on For the Health of Itcaldy County. But if there isn't anything left, then we're just going to point to future episodes. And Allie, do we have anything out there, or is it still just kind of gray on the horizon?
No, next time we're going to be talking about maternal and child health and the services that the health department provides in that realm.
Yeehaw, awesome. That'll be a good one, yeah. So that'll be fun as well. All right, then that's going to wrap us up for this episode. I hope everybody found it beneficial. And if you know somebody that wants to become a daycare provider, you'll tell them about this episode and have them give it a listen, or more importantly, give the health department a call. And we want to make sure that we thank all of the providers out there currently, because our society would not function if it would not be for you. And parents, remember Child Care Aware, they're the ones that can help you find it.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks, everybody. Stay well.
Stay well.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of For the Health of It, Cali County. We hope you found it useful and that you'll tell your friends and give us a listen again during future episodes. As always, we end today's segment by replaying a recent Public Health Minute, which is a weekly radio message focused on keeping you healthy. So, until next time, stay well, everyone. RSV, or the respiratory syncytial virus. It's hard to say, but easy to catch. This common illness can spread rapidly and will typically cause cold-like symptoms in most people. However, RSV isn't completely harmless. In fact, RSV can be especially dangerous for newborns and seniors. Thankfully, there are two new vaccines that can grant these at-risk populations the protections that they need to stay safe. Both vaccines are available now from the local health department. Just give us a call and get your appointment, and we'll make sure you're protected from RSV. To learn more about these new vaccines, check out the fifth episode of our podcast, For the Health of It, Cali County, available on all major podcast platforms. Don't hesitate to give us a call. We are more than happy to answer any questions you may have about RSV. Keeping those at risk safe with the latest protections, just another way the health department works hard every day to help you stay well.